In Exodus 40, we've got a summary of the tabernacle. And it is all a kind of a parable, really. The whole setup was surrounded by a fence, a curtained kind of fence. And to enter into the whole structure, the height of the entrance was such that most people would have had to bow their head. And I think that shows that the beginning of the whole journey towards the presence of God Almighty that was in the most holy place, the glory of God over the ark, in between the cherubim, it all begins with bowing the head. It begins with humility. And so from there, they came to the altar of sacrifice, of burnt offering. And I think that that is also critical in any acceptable approach to God, that we are here to sacrifice. We are here to give. And the whole idea of a prosperity gospel, whereby the good news is that you're going to get blessed, you're going to get health and wealth and all that stuff, and have a great, cool time in this life and have the hope of eternal life to come, I'm afraid straight away that is hugely problematic. You bow your head in humility. Without humility, there's no highway. There really is no highway to God. And then you come to the principle of sacrifice, that I am here to give, that all that I have is God's, and to him I freely give. After that, there was the laver, this big washing bowl, which could look forward to baptism. Then after that, you came to the holy place. And in the holy place, there were things like the lampstand, and there was the table of showbread, and the incense altar. Incense altar, incense is fairly clearly representative of prayer. The table of showbread could speak about the breaking of bread, at least eating in the presence of God, eating with God, that was the idea. And this lampstand. Well, the lampstand was actually on the south end of the holy place, and it shed its light opposite, or the NIV has in front of it. In other words, it was pointing out the way towards the northern end where the veil was that was going to go into the most holy place. So Revelation uses the candlestick as a symbol of the ecclesia, the church, and the idea is of witness, that collectively we make a witness that points people in the path towards the most holy place, towards fellowship with God. And the smell of the incense would have entered from the holy place into the most holy place. And that, I suppose, speaks of how prayer is our connection directly into the presence of God, into things unseen. Well, when you come then to the most holy place, you have the Ark of the Covenant, and there was a kind of a lid on that Ark that was significant, and it's called in the New Testament and the King James the Mercy Seat. The idea is that it was a kind of a throne, that something was enthroned upon it, which is why there is also a crown, as it were, around that mercy seat. And above it and stretched over it were the wings of the cherubim. And in between there was this Shekinah glory of God. And the blood of the atonement, on the Day of Atonement, was sprinkled every year on that lid, on that mercy seat. And of course, the New Testament develops all that and shows how that represented the blood of Jesus. And yet the veil was torn down when Jesus died on the cross from top to bottom, showing that God did this, so that the way into the Most Holy was open to all, not just a nervous high priest once a year, but open to all of us, so that all might go in to the very presence of God Almighty himself. Now, these things were radical things, really, to the first century Jewish mind, where the idea was that, yeah, all this stuff is good for the priests, it's good for the high priest, but I am just one of the vast majority of people who are just the vulgar common herd kind of thing. We are the proles, we are just the mass. And the whole idea was, no, you can be more than that. You can step out from that. In fact, you must be more than that. And you can actually follow the path of the high priest himself, because you are in Christ. You are in him. The veil is torn down. You can go and abide in the presence of his glory. Not nervously skip in once a year to make atonement for your sins and skip out again, but you can abide there. And yet all this begins with humility, with bowing your head to enter and accepting the principle of sacrifice, baptism, that I am not clean in my own right, that I need to be cleansed. And so it is humility which is so important. And that is why when the Lord Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount and he, as it were, lays out the principles of his kingdom, he begins with this by saying that blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, the despised, etc. Blessed are the humiliated, we could say. And so we shouldn't be surprised if humiliation comes our way, because we are not naturally humble, unfortunately. And this is how it has to be in life. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. So God is, in that sense, helping you to come down all the time. But the end is glorious. And the end, which is being in the presence of God through the veil, etc., the end is also now. It's a case of now but not yet, that the veil has been torn down. We do have boldness, he says, unlike the high priest, who was certainly not bold going in there every year. We do have boldness to enter into the most holy place through the way, through the veil, that is to say, the flesh of Jesus that was torn, as it were, for us. So that is where we are, and yet we have to encourage others to make that journey, to make that path. And so I do think that a good fisherman does go where the fish are. I think we need to direct our evangelism to people who are humbled or likely to accept this vital precondition. There's a lot of sectors in society like that, and it doesn't necessarily mean you go to the poor, because poor people are not necessarily humble and rich people are not necessarily proud. It's not quite like that. You go to people who, at whatever point they're at in their life, have been humbled. It could be through illness, it could be through suffering, bereavement, it could be all sorts of reasons, folks in prison, these kind of people. These are the types who do respond, because this is the absolutely necessary prerequisite. And yet, for all that, the end is glorious. The actual personal seeing of God, as Job exalts, whom my eyes shall see and not another, whom I shall behold in my flesh, even though worms may eat this body, in my flesh I shall see God.